Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every year around Easter, the atheists and philosophers and all the wise guys come out and poke fun at Christians for believing in the resurrection. They say that on Easter Sunday, those Christians are going out and celebrating something that never ever took place. Satan loves to spew his lies, trying to persuade believers that their faith in Christ and his resurrection is in vain. If we only had an eyewitness to testify to the truth. You see, our society lives and breathes on witnesses. You want to get married? Got to have a witness. Taking a loan out at the bank? Your signature needs a witness. Even after preparing your last will and testament, a witness must confirm that it was indeed you who signed your will. Now, there are obviously exceptions. I've read studies that say that eyewitness testimony can be faulty and distorted. In some cases, they say that the memory of two witnesses who saw a murder in a dark alley on a rainy night quite possibly would testify to two complete different stories. And there are times when we doubt witnesses. If you claim you've witnessed a UFO or a ghost, well, you might be accused of being drunk or on drugs or just plain crazy. But here's where the atheists dig their heels in, and the naysayers. They'd sooner believe that you saw the UFO or the ghost than believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They'll say, how can you put your faith into something that you cannot prove? We should expect responses like this. St. Paul writes, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. As Christians, we point to the testimony recorded in God's word as proof of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. While skeptics will tell you that the Bible is just some old dusty book full of fables and myths, we believe, teach, and confess that it is the authoritative, verbally inspired, inerrant word of God. If you talk to a historian of literature, they can tell you that there's more proof for authority or authenticity of the Bible than there is for any other book from antiquity. So let's hear from the eyewitnesses. What do they have to tell us? Our first reading this morning, St. Peter says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you, the Jews, killed by hanging him on a tree. And we are witnesses to these things. In our gospel text, the disciples tell Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But doubting Thomas wouldn't accept their testimony. He needed to see it with his own eyes. 8 days later, Jesus appeared to him in that same room. Thomas believed and said, my Lord and my God. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared also to me. You've heard the testimony. There is no question. Christ was raised from the dead. The disciples saw his hands and his side. Thomas actually put his finger in the holes of his hands and his hand into Jesus' side. over 500 witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Why would we need any more proof? You know, it's a funny world we live in that when we should demand proof, we don't. But when we don't need more proof, we demand it. We buy wrinkle-removing creams and diet plans and hair tonic to make hair grow. When there is no proof that any of it works, we fall for get-rich-quick schemes, even though there's no proof that you're going to make any money from it. We believe rumors and spread gossip when there is no evidence to support the rumor. We prefer to slander and tell lies about our neighbors and our friends rather than hold on to our tongues, or at the bare minimum, put the best construction on the situation. But then on the other hand, when it comes time to give testimony to Jesus Christ our Lord, give testimony to the truth found in God's holy word, that's when we zip our lips. Abortion, sexual immorality, it's a sin. But we won't testify. Drunkenness, anger, spite, greed, all are an abomination to God. But we're not going to tell our friends or family. When it's time to confess that Jesus died for our sins, that he is the only way to eternal life, we would sooner tell people that we saw a UFO or a ghost than tell others about Jesus. And there's a problem in there. Holy Scripture tells us that if we deny Jesus on earth, well, then Jesus is going to deny us before his Father in heaven. And unfortunately, in our sinful condition, we're more afraid of men than we are of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, I've heard the excuses, but Pastor, they're going to make fun of me. Or they won't be my friend anymore. Or what if they threaten to kill me like they do on the other side of the world? What would Jesus have to say about this? He would say, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. Give a sure defense of the hope that is within you, the hope that you have in Jesus. Otherwise, you're no better than cowering disciples hidden behind locked doors. The truth is, the persecution is here, and greater persecution is coming. Hatred towards Christians in the United States is an all-time high, as we discussed downstairs just a little while ago. And every day in the Middle East, someone is martyred for their faith in confessing Christ. It's coming, maybe not in our lifetime to the United States, but unless Jesus returns soon, it will get here. Christ Church has faced this kind of persecution and martyrdom before, and it certainly will go through it again. So when you have an opportunity to give a defense of Jesus' resurrection, consider this question. Why would Jesus' disciples hold fast to this claim of his death and resurrection when by doing so, they were going to get beat within an inch of their lives? In many cases, they were put to death. 10 of the original 12 apostles were martyred for their confession of faith. Why would they continue telling this if it was a lie? Spreading the gospel of Jesus and his resurrection certainly wasn't for them to get rich or get popular, obviously. It was quite the opposite. What would possibly cause Orthodox Jews of that day to leave their sacred traditions and ceremonies and come to faith in Jesus Christ? All it was going to do was lead to their martyrdom as well. But they held fast to the promise of God. Why did they do these things? It's the good news of salvation through Jesus. You see, the good news of Jesus and his death and resurrection for your salvation is so wonderful. How could they not tell others? How could they not spread the good news that God loves mankind so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for sins of mankind? How could they not tell others that although all men are sinful and unclean, Christ still came and rescued them from the wages of their sins? Jesus came not to condemn the world, but so that the world may be saved through him. And that goes for you and I as well. How can we not tell our loved ones and our neighbors of Jesus' love for them? How can we not tell them that Jesus died to save them from eternal damnation and bring them into eternal life? Someone needs to tell them that they'll never find Jesus at the lake. They won't find him out on the soccer field or out at the ball diamond, especially not at St. Mattress, listening to Pastor Pillow on Sunday morning. No, the place where you find Jesus is exactly where he promises to be, and that's right here in Word and Sacrament. You find Jesus in his word and in his sacraments. You don't find him and be able to put your finger in the wounds of his hands or the hole in his side. But like Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You've heard the testimony from the eyewitnesses. You have the authoritative, inerrant word of God, breathed out by the Holy Spirit to those who have recorded those words and brought down and given to you through the generations. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you've been called by the gospel to faith in your Savior, faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. From our first reading, you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You have the testimony. There could have been all kinds of books written on Jesus' deeds and miracles and signs. We heard in our gospel lesson, Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Thanks be to God, we have God's testimony recorded in Holy Scripture. We close with the words from St. Peter in our first lesson. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.